you look at inflation numbers on the consumer price index, which are listed around, like, I think the official numbers are like 8 or 9% right now, but it's easily double that. And I think most Americans are feeling that. So if you want a currency, if you want a cryptocurrency that is actually stable, that's immune to these inflationary manipulations by a central bank, you really ought to be looking at Bitcoin, and you really ought to be looking at other alternatives that actually are going to hold their value over the long term.
What up, vigilantes? I'm here with Mike Sertic with the Advocates for Self-Government. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Great to be at Yale Revolution.
Awesome. And thank you for taking this time with us, because I noticed that you do the political test, the famous political test. And maybe for those who are watching, what is this political test?
Yeah, so the world's smallest political quiz has been around for over 30 years. It's been distributed in person and online over 30 million times now, 25 million plus online alone. Today we now get around 2,000 to 3,000 people coming to our website at theadvocates.org every day. It's a tool that was developed in order to help identify and recruit libertarians into the liberty movement.
It's wild, because there's a lot of people out there that end up saying, well, I always knew I was a libertarian. Or I knew I was a libertarian in my heart, but I never had a word for it, is what they say.
Yeah, so a lot of people recognize, well, first of all, a lot of people only really are familiar with the traditional left-right paradigm in American politics. So everybody's familiar with the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, conservatives and liberals. But a lot of people think that that's all there is, yet they don't really identify with either side. They're what you might call politically homeless. And so the Nolan chart and the world's smallest political quiz was actually designed and developed in order to give a home to the people who feel, the millions of people across the country who feel politically homeless, i.e. libertarians.
Were you ever politically homeless yourself?
I was, as a matter of fact. I was actually, that's part of my story.
Okay.
Is I grew up in a household, kind of dating myself a little bit, but Hannity and Combs was on Fox News. So you had Sean Hannity, who very conservative, aggressive guy, and then you had Alan Combs as sort of this effete, weak, stereotypical leftist. And I was interested in the ideas, and I wanted to understand philosophy, political ideology, but I didn't really resonate with either side, and I didn't feel like I was getting the full story until Ron Paul came along, and I got a whole new perspective about what libertarian philosophy is, what it means, and it was after that that I actually started to find my home in the American political landscape.
So do we have the chart on the frame? Maybe with the B-roll, if you can get the chart real quick. I have a question for you. On that chart, where do the objectivists fall in line?
That's a great question. So it's kind of funny, because Ayn Rand herself wasn't a big fan what she understood to be libertarians.
Right.
She didn't like the term libertarian, and she even talked a little bit of smack about libertarians back in the day. But most of the people that I know, my friends who are objectivists, I would actually put them somewhere in between the libertarian and conservative spectrum, almost kind of on that middle ground line. That seems to me to be where they typically tend to land.
So you guys help people find themselves into the liberty movement. Do you guys, are you guys more proponents of, like, individuals going into, you know, activism in the free market, or activism in the public space with government?
We don't really necessarily dictate where people should go. I'm a big believer in the former. I like to see more people pursuing entrepreneurial endeavors, because I think that that's ultimately where you're going to have the most impact, where you're actually competing with the government from the outside rather than trying to change it from the inside. But I would never want to deter anybody who is pro-liberty, that's trying to be a change agent within government and within public policy. My hat's off to them. I certainly wish them the best. But if you have the chops to be an entrepreneur, whether that's a social entrepreneur or a profiteer and trying to actually sell a product or a service, by all means, I would definitely encourage that.
Now, in the world of crypto, I've come across a lot over the years of a phenomenon I would like to share with you, and maybe you can help me understand this better, which is people that are self-professed libertarians, but that you realize that they're economically illiterate.
Right.
what is this phenomenon? It's almost like they came into libertarianism with Ron Paul, but they never engage Austrian economics, praxeology. They never really, and then they went on to the open market with crypto. And it's almost like you see them espousing anti-capitalist perspectives, which is weird.
So you're talking about the people who come into the liberty movement, but they don't understand crypto, or
they're
very skeptical?
They don't understand economics, Austrian economics.
Right.
Why is that? Why is there like a laziness for libertarians to engage Austrian economics as they should?
That is a good question. I don't know if that's anything that is unique to libertarians. I think that's just a very real human phenomenon. Americans are economically illiterate, by and large. And unless you actually are willing to pursue, whether it's a career or you're really dedicated to understanding economics and how things work, the thing that I often point out is that economics is very counterintuitive in a lot of different ways. It's challenging for a lot of people. A lot of people aren't raised to think about money. People don't understand it. They just know that they don't have it or they need more of it. But they don't really understand how money works. And I think that that's partially due to the public education system for sure. I don't know if it's necessarily unique to the libertarian movement. I think it's just a systemic problem that most Americans, unfortunately, are economically illiterate.
So this assessment here is an assessment that takes care of economic and personal liberty, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a more well-defined like a assessment out there in the market that focuses on just the economic portion that we can like use to gauge where people are?
Nothing immediately comes to mind. I do remember seeing some research papers that were put out. I'm not sure what they were, but there have been what were called economic literacy tests that have been done, and the research has been conducted, longitudinal studies about Americans' economic literacy. And the news is not very good.
Oh, wow.
People, if anything, Americans are becoming more economically illiterate and not more literate. And we actually see this reflected in the world's smallest political quiz, even in terms of how people answer in favor of economic liberty issues. We see people far more willing to support personal liberty issues, but people don't understand the economic liberties. And so people tend to disagree with economic freedoms and liberties more so than the social and personal issues.
So many people are here probably listening to this, and then they might want more clarification on what you mean between personal liberty and economic liberty.
Right. So just for instance, personal issues would be those sorts of social issues that we think of when we think about personal issues in our private lives. So things along the lines of what we choose to put into our own bodies, the decisions that we make around drugs and medicine, personal health care or health choice, not the economic aspects of it, but the decisions that we make in terms of our sex conduct, who we choose as our partner, those very personal kind of intimate decisions. And then there's other ones along the lines of freedom of association, freedom of speech. These are all what we would consider to be social or personal liberties questions. It's not to say that some of those issues don't have economic ramifications, but I would distinguish those from some of the more economic issues that we might think of in terms of the issues that are directly and immediately affecting your wallet or
describe those wallet issues regarding liberty.
Yeah. So, for instance, those issues around how much should we be forced to pay in taxes? That is a very obvious one. And that's one of the questions on the quiz is, do you think that taxes are too high, essentially, or should we cut government taxes and spending? Another one is along the lines of retirement and how much should people be required, if anything, to pay into Social Security, or should retirement be something that's privatized ultimately? Another one that we added recently was around healthcare. Should government subsidize healthcare, and should healthcare be universalized or not? And likewise, talking about student loan bailouts. All of these issues are what I would consider to be explicitly economic and affecting how much you're paying out into taxes and social welfare systems.
What would you say is the biggest challenge and the best thing that we can do to empower people in understanding economic freedom?
That's a great question. I think that, so I got my Bachelor of Arts in Economics when I was in college after kind of floundering around from business to various other majors. And, you know, I don't remember the vast majority of economic laws and rules and equations and so forth. But there's certain fundamental concepts that you do pick up, and that I think that if you take some time to learn about economics, you carry with you throughout your life. And so there's very fundamental concepts that if the vast majority of Americans understood, it would change the way that they think about what they're willing to check off on the ballot and what they're willing to vote for, because they recognize, like, for instance, the concept of opportunity cost. If you recognize that there's a limited allocation or limited resources, there's finite resources, scarce resources in the world, and you have to make decisions and trade-offs. What am I giving up in order to do this? You recognize that money doesn't grow on trees, even though the Federal Reserve is able to print money. The reality is there's still limited resources, and that when the Fed does print money, inflation is going to ensue. So that you start to develop this sort of repertoire of ideas and concepts, and recognize you become much more thoughtful and careful about how you're making financial decisions.
Do you think something like Bitcoin and crypto, which shows people economic success outside of government, do you think this inspires people to learn more about become more economically literate because they see success in something that is intrinsically libertarian?
I think it absolutely should. I think what probably ought to be more inspiring or motivational for people wanting to explore alternative cryptocurrencies, whether it's Bitcoin or other tokens or currencies, is just the fact of centralized banking and what government is doing to our money and has done to our money for the last 100 years, but even more, I think, immediately, just over the last year or so, yeah, in terms of the rampant inflation that we're seeing. You know, you look at inflation numbers on the consumer price index, which are listed around, like, I think the official numbers are like 8 or 9% right now, but it's easily double that. And I think most Americans are feeling that. So if you want a currency, if you want a cryptocurrency that is actually stable, that's immune to these inflationary manipulations by a central bank, you really ought to be looking at Bitcoin, and you really ought to be looking at other alternatives that actually are going to hold their value over the long term.
Do you guys have any role or any for cryptocurrency within your organization? Do you guys take donations in crypto?
You know, that's an issue that we've talked about, and we currently do not. I certainly own some cryptocurrency, and most of the people in our organization have either do or I know are familiar with them. It's just something that we haven't gotten around to in terms of setting that up in the back end, but it's something that we will definitely work to implement over the next year or so.
Are you hopeful for the future?
I am. I mean, I would say that I'm a long-term optimist and maybe a little bit pessimistic in the short term. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball. I just know that I think that people should be very concerned about what's going to happen over the next several years as we continue to make our way through this bus cycle. And, you know, I would say definitely do what you can to take measures to protect yourself. Hang tight, because I think it could be a bumpy ride for a little while.
You're at the Young Americans for Liberty Conference Revolution. What do you see with these young people? Are you hopeful in what you see in them?
I am. Yeah. You know, I mean, I look back to when I was a student, and I was, you know, wide-eyed and really hopeful for the future. And like I just said, I still am long-term. I think it's sad to see that so many young people are going to be entering an economy that's not very bright. I think it's going to be tough for a lot of these young people trying to start their careers off and make their way into this economy. But in spite of that, I think that I'm more worried and concerned than they appear to be.
Really?
They still seem. I think that there's a lot of. I think that there's some sense of anger with the leadership and government and what our politicians are doing. But at the same time, young people seem to be taking it in stride. They're very resilient. And I think that these Young Americans for Liberty, recognize that they are, or they believe that they're going to be able to have an impact and make a change. And that is very encouraging to me.
A lot of libertarians, especially during the Ron Paul days, they discovered Bitcoin and they're like, you know what, we're just going to create our own thing and move forward. Do you find hope in that we can create these alternative economies?
I do. I think it's going to be a constant struggle. It's going to be a fight because you have entities that have a monopoly on coercion. So you have the SEC and you have government regulatory bodies that are trying to do everything that they can to regulate these competing currencies and these competing solutions to the monopoly and what is essentially a cartel.
Awesome, Mike. And where can people find out more about what you guys are doing?
Yeah, so go out to theadvocates.org, and you can find the quiz there. We've got other programs and content. Feel free to check out our newsletter. We're also on social media. We have a huge following on Facebook, as well as Twitter and Instagram. I believe it's at The Advocates, and you'll find us.
Thank you, Mike, for your time. I really appreciate
it. Thanks a
lot. And peace, love, anarchy, guys. The Advocates for Self-Government. Thank you.